Okay, and welcome back. Another hour to go here. Mitch Henderson, are you there, Mitch?
I am here.
Welcome back.
Thank
How
you.
Are you?
Well, I'm doing good. Thank you very much.
Okay. You're welcome. This last week, as you've been watching this unfold, there are, as I've said numerous times, no indications of de-escalation, no indications of wanting or there being a will to resolve this without or with nothing short than the Zionist Jew-Israeli monsters with American bombs and American jets leveling Gaza from one end to the other. Now, this is not to say that a lot of Jewish people hate Netanyahu and what the Jewish state is doing. They do. So those people need to be recognized. And I wish that the anti-Netanyahu and anti-genocide Jewish population in this country and around the world would somehow coalesce and come up with a spokesperson to represent their views of utter disgust and outrage of what's going on there. And I know there are a lot of people who feel that way who are of the Jewish faith. They don't have a spokesperson or a voice. So let me be that voice right now. This has to stop, and it's not going to stop, apparently, until Gaza is flattened from one end to the other. And if those people don't leave, they're going to be living in tents amid rubble with no services, no water, no sewer, no hospitals, no medical. This is utter annihilation of Gaza and the Palestinian state, what's left of it. That's what it is. And I think the world sees
yes,
that
it
now.
Is.
And not one Arab
yes,
state, Mitch, not one Arab state is saying, we'll take in the Palestinian people. Now, that can be taken two ways. One, they kind of don't want to be bothered. They don't want to upset their own domestic tranquility. But I think it's more of a case of, well, if we take them in or announce we're going to take them in, the Israelis will simply accelerate their destruction of everything there because the people have a place to flee to. So if they don't have a place to go, the Israelis are going to continue to take massive world outrage about what they're doing. You follow my logic here? So they kind of have to stay.
Yes.
At least that's my guess.
I think what it is if they take the refugees in, they're helping Israel achieve their goals.
100%. That's exactly the way to look at it. I've looked at it that way earlier myself. I was talking to someone. They are helping Israel by taking them in. And they're kind of stuck
yes.
there. And I think the Arab world is united in that. And yet, I'm sure most of the Arab world has been told directly or indirectly through back channels or front channels, if you get involved with this militarily, you're going to be nuked. Now, that's what the Jews would do. That's their MO.
Yes.
The Samson option, whatever. They're savage about this, barbaric, et cetera.
So the big lie of our time, the big lie of our time is the Zionist lie. Zionism is so comprehensive, it's such a comprehensive lie about everything in our world. Okay, so what I want to do tonight is I want to make the distinction between Christian Armageddon versus Zionist Armageddon.
Very
because
good.
They're two different things, okay? So it's very clear how to distinguish the Christian version of Armageddon from the Zionist version of Armageddon. The Christian version is based on the New Testament and is brought about by the consequence of human sin, and the Zionist version is based on the Old Testament, is brought about through the efforts of humans, not God.
Right. Mitch, could you talk a little louder, please? Get right up on that phone.
A little better?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, so these may seem the same, but they are different in that the Christian version is detailing how, by human rejection of God and through our ignorance and arrogance, we drift into Armageddon. The Zionist version is from human perspective, where we are intentionally doing Armageddon to ourselves, thinking that we humans will bring about a perfect world through human efforts without God. The distinction is that human effort brings about the Zionist Messiah, which is, in fact, the Antichrist. The first and next world Savior will be the Antichrist, not Christ. After 7 years of the Zionist Antichrist, the actual world Savior Christ will return and vanquish the Antichrist and each and every one of his followers without exception. The Zionist purge of humanity will be horrific, just like the Zionist Bolshevik purges in Russia after 1917. Christ will then purge the Zionists responsible for the terrors that are coming to humanity. Not a single Zionist will escape accountability and judgment. So how can we tell the difference between these two versions of Armageddon? The Christian version of Armageddon is detailed in the book of Revelation of Jesus Christ. First, the word Bible comes from the Greek ta biblia, which means the books, plural, or modern library. Ta biblia, or Bible, does not mean the book. For example, in Spanish, the word for book is libro, while the book for a library is biblioteca, which matches Bible.
Got it.
This needs to be understood to understand the following verse in the book of Revelation in proper context. This is Revelation 22:18-19. Quote, "For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If any one adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things written in this book." Many interpret this to mean adding or subtracting anything from the whole Bible, but the whole Bible is not one book, but a collection of books. And this verse is referring to just the book of Revelation. This matters. Does Revelation say exactly who would add or subtract from the book of Revelation? Yes, it does. Revelation 2:8-9 says, quote, "And to the angel of the church of Smyrna write, these things say the first and the last, which is Jesus Christ, who is dead and came to life. I know your works, tribulation, and poverty. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are in fact a synagogue of Satan." This is Christ telling you that the people that murdered him, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, which were not spiritually Jews but humanist Zionists, are the synagogue of Satan, followers of the Antichrist. This also means that Christian Zionists who say that they are Christians but are, in fact, the Church of Satan. So let me cover first the Zionist sources of Armageddon. Both Jewish Zionists and Christian Zionists base their participation in the reestablishment of Israel on Old Testament verses in the Bible, but they have a twisted interpretation. So let me cover what it actually says. In Ezekiel 36, it says, "When the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own ways and deeds. To me, their way was like the uncleanness of a woman in her customary impurity. Therefore, I poured my fury on them for the blood that they had shed on the land and for their idols with which they defiled it. So I scattered them among the nations, and they were dispersed throughout the countries. I judged them according to their ways and their deeds. When they came to the nations, wherever they went, they profaned my holy name. When they said of them, 'These are the people of the Lord,' and yet they have gone out of his land. But I had concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the nations wherever they went. So, for God's sake, not Israel's, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes, I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of the countries, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all of your filthiness and from your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my commandments and do them. Then you shall dwell in, then, this is key, then you shall dwell in the land that I gave your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will deliver you from your uncleanness. So their twisted interpretation is that when they go back to their land, God will bless them, and they will be clean. In other words, if they return to Israel, then they will be clean. What Ezekiel says is that after the Jews become holy in the eyes of the world, then he will give them their land back, not before. Reality check one, the Zionist Jews returned to Israel in 1948, and in 75 years, they have become the gay Mecca of the Middle East. They became the most woke nation in the world, and right now they are dishonoring God's name among the nations with their right. War crimes and their crimes against humanity. There are protests and anger all over the earth at Israel's disgusting actions in the Gaza war. Their sins are being uncovered. They have provoked hatred against their God and profaned his name before the whole world. The current state of Israel is definitely not God's ingathering of the Jews, as described in Ezekiel 36. This is a satanic counterfeit state of Israel. Reality check two. It is when God is hallowed in the Jews before the eyes of the world, the Jews will return to their land. The Jews are held in contempt by the world because of their immorality, uncleanness, and the very fact that 65% of Israelis are atheists. When the Supreme Court in the U.S. shut down Roe versus Wade, Israel made abortion easier. The God of the current state of Israel is Marxism. They prostitute themselves to every progressive and woke idol they can. They are a beacon for Satan in the Middle East and before the world. Israel has done nothing to hallow God's name before the nations. They are a beacon of the power of Satan. This is a Zionist return to their ancient land, is a satanic counterfeit. According to Ezekiel 36, the Jews first have to become holy and be revered among the nations of the world. The state of Israel has done the exact opposite of this. After they keep God's judgments and do them, then they shall dwell in their land, not before. They have to obey God first. What right. you're seeing in Israel now has got nothing to do with obeying God. It is an abomination to God. The Messiah that Israel is looking for is a secular, humanist, progressive Marxist Messiah, exactly what the Christians and the Muslims call the Antichrist and the Dajjal. The Antichrist will be a Jew. Okay, so let me get into now how Christian Zionism went wrong. So in 1832, Moses Hess published his book, The Holy History of Mankind, which is the source of modern Zionism and Marxism. We don't hear much about him because they do not want you to link Zionism with Marxism. Marxism is the conspiracy and Zionism is the conspirators. In 1928, Philip Morrow published his book, The Gospel of the Kingdom, which is the source of dispensationalism and Christian Zionism. Dispensationalism is an interpretation of history through the lens of God's relationship with Israel. It is Zionist focus instead of God-centered. It interprets Revelation by adding Ezekiel to Revelation, which Christ very specifically said not to do. Christ said that those who add to Revelation will have the plagues of this book of Revelation added to them. Philip Morrow was a lawyer and an author. He was not a theologian. He was involved in the Scopes Monkey Trial of 1925, accusing a teacher of teaching Darwin's theory of evolution in a public school. Darwin's theory of evolution in those days was a theory and not a scientific law. Nowadays, there are no scientific laws, only theories. So whereas it is accepted as fact now, it was just a theory back then, and it was not accepted as an objective scientific fact. Scientific fiction is now accepted as fact. The most popular understanding of Revelation came in 1970 with Hal Lindsey's book, The Late Great Planet Earth. This is a Christian Zionist and a dispensationalist narrative of Revelation that is interpreted by adding Old Testament scripture to the book of Revelation. Lindsey's book was nonfiction. In 11th grade in public school, I was required to read this book for English class. 1995, Tim LaHaye published his Left Behind book as fiction that became a bestseller also. It is basically based on the same narrative as Al Lindsay's book, based on dispensationalism and Christian Zionism. Between 1995 and 2007, 16 books in this fiction series were published. They were also made into movies. So let me explain what is fundamentally wrong with most theology and doctrine. This is all you need to know and do. From Ezekiel, you can see that what God demands of real Jews, he expects them to love God with all their heart, mind, and soul, to the absolute exception of any other gods, and to obey his law that he gave them. This is what real Jews are supposed to do. This is how they become holy before the world. You can tell a tree by its fruits. A good tree bears good fruits. Who thinks abortion, sodomy, atheism, war crimes, and crimes against humanity are good fruits? Who thinks that what comes out of Hebrew University is godly? Like their gay atheist professor of history, Yuval Noah Hariri, who reprised Moses Hess's book with his 2014 book, Sapiens, A Brief History of Humankind, or his atrociously inhuman Homo Deus, A Brief History of the Future. He is the chief philosopher of the World Economic Forum. The current state of Israel has bad fruits, so it is a bad tree. The current Israel is not the Israel that God was talking about in Ezekiel. Real Jews do not believe that the current state of Israel is the real Israel. They consider this iteration of Israel unclean. Zionism does not speak for real Jews and does not speak for God. So for Christians, no,
It is time for those people of the Jewish faith who are not Zionists to stand up, to get together, coalesce, as I said earlier, and have a spokesman to make their collective position clear. They've got to stand up and talk, or they're going to all continue to be lumped in together with the Zionist lunatics who are running this genocide. And I don't want to see that happen. And I know a lot of them don't. But unless they start talking and speaking out, they're going to get smeared with the same garbage.
Oh, yeah.
I don't see any other way to approach it.
Yeah, that's true. So for Christians, it's just this simple. If you approach Christ as who you really truly are, no matter how disgusting and shameful you are, from the place that you are really in, no matter how shameful and disgusting it is, then Christ will save you from all the ghosts of your past. He will not only forgive and forget all that you did, but Christ will give you the power to sin no more. If you think you are a good and godly person and live a holy life, you cannot approach Christ because that is not who you really are and is not where you are really at in life. Before right. Christ saves you, it seems like it is impossible to obey the Ten Commandments. After Christ saves you, the Ten Commandments seem to be easy to obey. In both cases, for you as an individual, this is all this matters, whether you're a Jew or a Christian. Supporting Israel is supporting Zionism, and supporting Zionism is supporting the Antichrist. Get marked in your head by Christ, not by the Antichrist. Do not accept the mark of the beast. If you receive a chip so that you can conduct your financial affairs, you are lost forever. CBDC is not a good idea. It is the worst idea in history.
Yeah, one of them, for sure.
Zionism is the big lie of our age. It is critical that people see through this lie if they hope to have any hope of surviving what is coming fast upon us. Let me give you a clear example. Our government, the media, and celebrities all repeat the mantra, quote, Israel has a right to defend itself. This is a damned lie. Under international law, an occupying power does not have a right to defend itself from an occupied people. This is a satanic lie that many people uncritically parrot. That is the mark of the beast in your head if you believe that. Okay, so make that clear. Let me reiterate. Under international law, an occupying power does not have a right to self-defense against an occupied people. That is the law, okay? We never hear our politicians talk about that, do we?
No.
So just to clear people up on the timeline of Revelation, the timeline and progression of Revelation is stated in the opening of the seven seals. The seven seals can be directly related to actual history. And this is without all the Christian, this is not Christian Zionist. This is straight out of the book, and you compare these seals with what has happened in history. So the first seal, a white horse, he who sat upon it had a bow, and a crown was given to him. And he went out conquering and to conquer. This seal opened in 1492 when Columbus went out to conquer the Americas. By 1945, white Europeans and Americans had conquered every nation on earth without exception. This has come full circle. Columbus's statues have been torn down, and the filthy pedophile Biden changed Columbus Day to Indigenous Peoples Day as soon as he took office. Now we have the Great Replacement and white genocide. The second seal, another horse, fiery red, went out, and it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth. And that people should kill one another. And there was given to him a great sword. This seal opened in 1832 with the publication of Moses Hess's book, The Holy History of Mankind. This is Zionism, who's this red horse. This is Marxism. This book was the source of communism and Zionism. In 1848, Marxist revolution swept Europe. In 1917, the Bolsheviks, who were Zionist Marxists, overthrew the Tsar in Russia and murdered 30 million white Christians in Russia. All of my life, the Marxists and the Bolsheviks were called the Reds. After World War II, the Reds took peace away from the earth, and we had a constant constant Marxist revolutions of the Cold War. Once the Soviet Union fell in 1991, Red China became ascendant, rivaling the USA and Europe in economic power. This is the Red Dragon. Economic power is logistical power, and the Red Dragon has a great sword. They have been improving their military capabilities, which is a focus of the Communist Party of China. In addition, critical theory, a euphemism for Marxism, is now the official political philosophy of the white European and American governments. The Reds now rule the world. When I say Reds, this means the Zionists now rule the world. The third seal, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand, and I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius and three quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine. This seal opened in 1936 when the Zionist Frankfurt School of Marxism Freudianism set up at Columbia University Teachers College and infiltrated Marxism into the American educational system and started propounding critical theory into American culture and pushing for diversity, equity, and inclusion. Equity being equality of outcomes imposed by the political system and replacing equality of opportunity based on merit. This was based on the theme of black liberation, thus the Black Horse, which was used as a vehicle to promote DEI and led to the cultural, social, moral, and ethical decay that we see all around us. It is no accident that we are seeing our nation become more like Black Haiti than Haiti becoming more like America. Haiti has been independent since 1803, and it is a slum. Black Liberia has been independent since 1847, and it is a slum. Most of Black Africa became independent between 1960 and 1992, and it is still a slum. America is rapidly becoming a slum, and the worst slums are governed by black mayors like New York City, Chicago, Los Angeles, Houston, Dallas, San Francisco, Denver, Atlanta, New Orleans, and Washington, D.C. In addition, New York City, Chicago, Houston, San Francisco, Denver, and Washington, D.C. also have black police chiefs. Are any of these cities safe? These cities are turning actually into worse than a third world country.
Correct.
So the fourth seal, a yellow-green horse, In Greek, the word for pale is chloros, which translates to yellow-green. And the name of him who sat on it was death, and hell followed with him. And power was given them over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword and hunger and death by the beasts of the earth and by the beasts of the earth. This seal opened in 1980 when Sunni leader Saddam Hussein invaded Shia Iran in the first Gulf War. Yellow is the Shia color and green is the Sunni color. A quarter of the people on earth are Muslims. That's this quarter of the world. Since 1980, the Muslim world has seen almost constant war, like the global war on terrorism. As a result, there have been almost constant famines in the Muslim world, and even now we call the Muslim jihadists beasts for the way they slaughter people. The fifth seal. I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony with which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on earth?" And then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer until both the number of their fellow servants and brethren who would be killed as they were was completed. This seal was opened in 2003 when the United States invaded Iraq. Islamists began murdering Christians during the American occupation. Remarkably, Europe and the United States refused to give asylum to these persecuted Christians. Only Muslim refugees were accepted into Europe and America. Not until 2016 did the United States officially recognize the exterminations of Christians in Syria and Iraq as a genocide under the cover of lumping them in with the non-Christian Yazidis who were more important to them. From 64 AD under Nero until now, 70 million Christians have been murdered for their faith.
In 2012, Mitch, the Yazidis are very interesting people. They're Christian. They're blue-eyed. Some of them are blondes. They're indigenous to the Middle East, and they're very much discriminated against. Yazidis. Y-A-Z-I-D-I. Yazidis. Very nice group of people who have been really under the boot of terrible distress for a long time. Go ahead.
Before AD under Nero until now, 70 million Christians have been murdered for their faith. In 2012, there were 4,761, in 2021, there were 4,761, and in 2022, 5,898 Christians murdered for their faith. Once again, it is cultural Marxists, DEI, CRT, and CGT that is responsible for the persecution of Christians. In 2021, there were 340 million Christians persecuted for their faith in the world. In 2022, there were 360 million. The strongest persecution of Christians comes from the LGBT community, not from Muslims. In the future, Christians will be murdered because they will not accept and embrace sodomy. This is happening in our country now. They will punish you. For being against sodomy. This targets actual and real Christians, because if you are a true Christian, you will be obedient to Christ. That is how the cultural Marxists will separate the wheat from the chaff. Okay, so now the important one, because we're coming upon that right now, the sixth seal. The sixth seal has not been opened yet, but will be the next seal to be opened, and it can open any day now. It is what is next. So this is what it says. He opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth, as a fig tree drops its figs, its late figs, when it is shaken by the wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, every slave and every free man, hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? Since this has not happened, we must speculate. After Israel began bombing the Palestinians, Iran threatened Israel by saying that they would send an earthquake to Israel. Interesting choice of words.
Yeah,
a nuclear strike on Israel that is a ground-bursting nuclear weapon would kick up a huge dirt cloud that would at first obscure the sun, and as the dirt settles, would leave enough dust in the air to make the moon appear red. On the ground in Israel, it would appear as if the stars were falling to earth as the incoming missiles head towards their targets. I have seen incoming missiles, and that's what it looks like the stars are falling. Of course, we know that actual stars cannot fall to earth. The gravity of the much bigger stars would pull earth towards them, not the other way around. The next sentence suggests that it will be Iranian nukes that strike Israel because Iran's nukes are uranium, not plutonium bombs. It says that the sky receded as a scroll when it rolled up. Uranium is the Greek word for sky. And when one subcritical mass is rolled up into another, it sets off a nuclear explosion. It would take Iran... Listen to this, people. It takes Iran 12 days to put together one atomic bomb. They will need more than one. Iran has missiles that can reach Israel. Iran has hypersonic missiles that can reach Israel. Iran also has submarine-launched ballistic missiles. They have launch tubes for the Babur III missiles on Khalid-class submarines. These have launch tubes installed on their decks. It carries three Babur III missiles. These missiles could be launched from the Red Sea. So why has Hezbollah in Lebanon not gotten to war with Israel yet? Preparation. Israel does have a decent air defense system. Consequently, Iran would have to coordinate with Hezbollah, because if they want to make sure that their nuclear weapons actually strikes Israel, they would need Hezbollah to launch thousands or tens of thousands of missiles and rockets to swarm and overcome Israeli air defenses. And they certainly can do that. They have plenty of missiles to do that. Synchronizing coordination takes some time and effort to set up. On Hezbollah's part, they would not want to go until they get some better air defense to protect their launching platforms and shoot down Israeli aircraft that will respond to an attack. If Iran attacks Israel with nuclear weapons,
we might even think about beginning to call these American aircraft. We gave them to the Israelis. They didn't buy them, nor the weapons.
Yeah, yeah.
American bombs, American jet fighters, American anti-missile system, the whole thing. It's stocked by American tax money, all of it. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, I don't know if you picked this up in the news, but Hezbollah is buying their defense systems right now. They're actively buying them and setting them up right now.
Very good.
So
I think this is we're about a month away, Mitch. I think we're talking the first 2 weeks in December for this thing to go big.
Could be. If Iran attacks Israel with nuclear weapons, does that give the USA a pretext for nuking Iran? Not really. The only nations under the U.S. nuclear umbrella are NATO nations, Japan, South Korea, Australia, and New Zealand. Israel is not under our nuclear umbrella. This nuclear war could be limited to Israel, Iran, and their Muslim neighbors. Iran has Qorm Shahr 4 missiles already deployed that can hit Israel from Iranian soil. Israel has Jericho 3 missiles that can reach Iran. Another thing they are waiting on is the political cover. The North Vietnamese could have never beat the United States military, but they did beat us politically. All the war protesters in the United States gave North Vietnam and their Soviet and Chinese backers a victory. This past weekend, 60,000 people went out in Washington, D.C. alone to protest Israel's war in Gaza. They are happening everywhere and getting bigger all the time. Pro-Israel marches are insignificant in comparison. This is Vietnam War protests on steroids because they are everywhere, even
worldwide.
In Japan.
Right.
Yes.
Yep.
They make the BLM protests look paltry in comparison. They say that Jewish and Muslim people are attacked over this issue, and you will hear them say that is worse for the Jews. This is a lie, people. Two Muslims have been killed, and no Jews have been killed. Because, you know, there's a double standard. And double standards are evil. Please keep in mind that no matter who wins, the West or BRICS, the Zionists win. The Zionists follow Marxist dialectical materialism. They play both sides in the struggle of the thesis, the West, against the antithesis, the BRICS, because they will be the new thesis that emerges. This is the dialectic. How can you watch what is going on in Gaza and not see that this is the way the Antichrist treats humans? The way you saw the Bolsheviks treat humans in Russia in 1917, this is the way they always treat humans. This is what they're doing in Gaza. This will be our lives in the near future. The Zionists have no mercy. They have, as Scripture says, they have hearts of stone. So, you know, we're headed down that path. You know, one of the reasons, I just want to make a note, one of the reasons why our carriers are way off, like in the Mediterranean Sea, I mean, they're over by Greece, okay? They don't get close because Hezbollah does have shore-to-ship missiles. They have anti-ship missiles that they can fire from the shores.
Right.
In this last invasion of Israel, they actually struck an Israeli Navy boat with one of these ship-to-shore missiles. So a lot of
anti-ship missiles.
Use those.
Yeah, right. I think you're right. Now remember, we have three nuclear powered and nuclear equipped United States Navy aircraft carrier task forces there. We have Ford is in the Mediterranean, the Eisenhower is in the Red Sea, and the Nimitz is in the Persian Gulf. They're spread around.
Yes.
And they are sitting
down. You know what? I saw in the news just today where they were saying that, Iran won't do anything because we put a carrier group off of their coast.
Oh, please. Russia, remember what Russia said about Iran? They will not stand for Iran to be attacked. Okay?
No.
It's real clear. They might as well have a mutual defense treaty with Iran.
They can't fight a country like Iran. They can't do it. They cannot fight a country like Iran. Iran is not scared of a carrier group. Okay, they've dealt with carrier groups. I mean, the war between the United States and Iran has been going on since 1980. I mean, they've had naval conflict with the United States in that whole. Most of that conflict has been with the U.S. Navy. They know our Navy. They have dealt with it. They're not afraid of it. Not only that, but you know what? They're willing to make sacrifices to accomplish their goals.
Actually, our war with Iran goes back to 1954 when the CIA went in and overthrew Mossadegh and installed the Shah.
For a long time.
This goes way back. Russia will not stand by and allow the Iranians to be wiped out. It's not going to happen. Not that the Iranians would be wiped out unless nukes were used. And that would be, again, the Samson option, but turned in a different direction. This is, the potentials here are all bad. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, it's all bad. I was listening to Douglas McGregor talking, and he said that, Turkey may ask Syria permission to pass through to attack Israel. And he said it only takes 12 hours to drive from Turkey to Israel. It's a 12-hour drive. That's it. And Turkey is is the second biggest military power in NATO.
Correct.
They actually they can fill 2 million troops.
Yes. I'm still hoping, I know this sounds a little bellicose perhaps, but I'm so tired of Israel with this enormous nuclear club threatening to beat the hell out of anyone and destroy them. If Turkey had nukes, if Iran had nukes, and that could happen, it may already be, but the Pakistanis have offered to send Turkey as many nukes as it feels it needs. And the same, I think, with the Iranians.
Just to point out something on that, Jeff, when Pakistan was building the, putting together their nuclear bombs, I don't know if you're aware of it, but it was referred to as the Islamic bomb. They were putting it together not just for Pakistan, but for all Islam. Okay.
Interesting. So, I remember the name. I didn't know that. Yeah. They're probably offering to give them to most Muslim countries if they want. I wouldn't be surprised. Mm-hmm. That would make sense. The Muslim bomb, yes.
Yes, yes. I remember in 1985, I was working in organized crime, and we started looking into the system. It was actually a system of safe houses and a criminal network that involved, even involved the PLO, the Palestinian Liberation Organization, because we make these things called link analysis, where we listen to we track telephone calls and mail and stuff like this, not listening to the call, but just seeing who calls who, because we can create a link between them by doing that. And we had linked it to these guys in down in like the Miami Fort Lauderdale area that were accused of smuggling nuclear material and nuclear information to Pakistan. Now they had done this. They had actually gotten in trouble up in Canada for it. So one of the things that I did is I contacted the Royal Canadian Mounted Police to ask them if they had information about these guys. And I was sort of surprised the RCMP cooperated with me. They said, certainly, right. We'll give you information right. about them. And that's usually not very often done between nations. Okay, they guard their own information. But the RCMP was very open with me. And these guys had everything to do with the Islamic bomb, and that was the purpose of it, was the Islamic bomb. It was to counter Israel's nuclear program. Okay.
Yeah.
Also,
so in a way, Pakistan, in a way, Pakistan is a nuclear arsenal for all Arabs in the world. 1.2 billion Muslims. They are the arsenal.
Well, there's actually 2 billion Muslims.
Are there two
in the world now?
Okay.
Two. Yeah, it's a quarter of the earth. A quarter of the people on the earth are Muslim.
Got it.
So there we are. You know, I mean, the possibilities are great. You know, I mean, look at Ukraine. Ukraine's just become a sideshow. It's just not important anymore.
Ukraine was used to disarm America. We have largely been disarmed.
Yeah.
The ammunition, the artillery ammunition, we don't have it. It's gone. It's all been expended. We are 6 years behind recovering from the loss of the amount of stocks we need to protect ourselves in terms of artillery pieces and tank rounds. So just think about that. We have been looted and stripped of our ammunition, which makes us basically military almost impotent. We don't have much at all.
Oh no, it's like completely gone. But one thing that I want to kind of to cover is you know, we have 1,885 troops in Turkey. Those are actually Air Force guys, and the Turks went and rioted and tried to storm Incirlik Air Force Base this past week.
Mm-hmm.
We got 900 in Syria, 2,500 in Iraq, 13,300 in Kuwait, 9,000 in Bahrain, those are mostly Navy guys, 8,000 in Qatar, that's a lot of Air Force people too, The United Arab Emirates has 3,500. Oman has 200. Saudi Arabia, 2,700. Jordan, 2,931. And in Israel, we have 2,010 troops. Okay. So this is insignificant forces, Jeff. Those forces can't do anything. Okay. They're sitting ducks. They're dips. They're going to die in place, is what's going to happen.
Dips. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We have about 350 to 375. 350 to 375,000 American troops in over 140 countries around the world. South Korea, Japan, you name it. They're all over the place. They should be home. There's no reason for them to be over there. Stupid.
Oh, yeah. So that's certainly
We're being set up to be taken down from within.
This is a takedown of the United States right here, you know?
Right. Yeah. I totally get it.
It's doing a little reality check here, okay? This is a real reality check, okay? Does Iran actually threaten the United States? No. Does North Korea threaten the United States? No. North Korea can. It's not Red Dawn. They can't come over here and take the state of Washington. They can't do it. The logistical lines are too long. They can't possibly do it. And Iran is too far away, and there's too many obstructions. They can't come and seize Los Angeles. I think that's where a lot of Iranians live, or Los Angeles and Houston. They can't come and seize these places. Russia has no interest in taking over America. And China wants to rule China. It doesn't want to rule the United States. You know, do they have?
It might want to cause the U.S.
here?
Some real.
Yes, they do.
It might want to cause some real grief here with, fifth column terrorist operations. Take out our freeways, our railroads, our substations, our petroleum processing centers and refineries. We haven't built a refinery in 30 or 40 years, something like that. But they could do it without much trouble.
Yeah, but it's not for the purpose of seizing ground in the United States. What it is, if we get to war with these countries, they're going to have fifth columnists here, which we've opened the borders and let them all in.
That's right.
And they're going to cause disruptions here, which you would always do. It's tantamount to bombing the enemy's homeland, okay, when you're fighting a war with them. It's just something that you of course, do it.
Exactly.
It weakens them. It makes us keep resources here. Okay, so the obverse of that, okay, is who threatens the world and who threatens world peace? The government of the United States is the biggest threat to world peace that has ever existed since the beginning of time. No government has ever been in so much mischief as we are. Like you said, we got military in 140 countries around the world. We're telling countries like Uganda, we can't really do business with you because you don't support gay people, you know?
Right. It's
is that really what American interest is? Is American interest really that we can have a flourishing of sodomy across the face of the earth? That, Jeff, is evil. You know, we are the evil empire. We are the great Satan. We really are. You know,
yes, I know.
What's the only threat? The only real threat to the American people and to American freedom is the government of the United States. That's the only threat that we really have, and they're going to get us killed. Okay, so. I just wanted to tell everybody another thing. You know, in my life, I've been to 16 different conflict zones. Many of those were revolutions, and some were just states that were failed states and stuff, and some were, you know, wars between countries and stuff. But most were basically revolutions and stuff, and so I've seen wars unfold. One war in particular that I got to see from the beginning to the very end was the war in El Salvador, okay, from like 1976 to 1992, okay. I was in and out of that war the whole time. I saw it begin, and I saw it at the ending, okay. And let me tell you something. If I was to just compare what I've seen happen in other wars in other countries, when their countries got destabilized and stuff, the thing that the American people, that each individual has to be concerned with at first, the first thing that you're going to have to deal with is other people. There will be people who will come to kill you and take your stuff, okay? That is going to be your job one, will be protecting yourself from people coming to take your stuff. Look, look at the news every day. There's people brushing into houses, taking their stuff already, and we're not even in that war state yet. How do you think it's going to be when the whole system comes crashing down? It's going to be that. It's going to be people. It's going to be other people coming to attack you. It's going to take the government a while to come attack you. But at first, you're going to have to deal with your neighbors. Okay. So.
Got it.
Might as well be prepared for that.
I agree. All right. Well, let's see what happens. We only have 3-4 weeks, not even four, until December, and I think you're right. There's a lot of positioning and preparation going on right now. Lots. And I think that's the big indicator of where this is going to end up. One false flag, one missile hit on a U.S. frigate, destroyer, or God forbid that the USS Ford or any of the others will be blamed on Hezbollah anti-ship missiles. It certainly won't. It won't be. But we can cause this to happen anytime. Look what we did with the Liberty. That happened with our full approval, our own people. Johnson okayed it.
Listen to this. So Putin has Kinzhal missiles flying over the Black Sea. You know what that's about. Those missiles sink our battleships.
Those are carrier sinkers, the Kinzhals.
Yes, they are.
And they're up. They're airborne 24 hours a day.
There's no defense.
None.
They're
up 24 hours a day on,
yep.
I think, MiG-34s or whatever is carrying them. Anyway, they're up around the clock. Russia's not playing games. And if we attack Iran, Russia will respond. I have no doubt.
I think so. I think we are going to attack Iran. I mean, it's just, look at...
Well, that'll be the trigger. We're going to trigger the war.
Yeah.
We will trigger it.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah, I think so.
See, gotta run, Mitch.
When he bombed a few of those camps and stuff, we says, "Oh, we have to attack Iran stronger and harder."
So, okay. Gotta run. Thank you, Mitch. Take care, and good night, everyone. Back with you tomorrow night. Talk then.